The Angry Chicken Hearthstone podcast is produced by Amove.tv. Check out Amove.tv for more podcasts covering Blizzard games. For more of Jocelyn's gaming podcasts, visit JossPlays.com. And to find many more podcasts with Ridiculous Hat, follow at Ridiculous Hat on Twitter. Every episode of TAC is made possible thanks to our legendary patrons over at Patreon.com/TAC.
Time's up. Let's do this.
Legendary.
You beast, Deroxys.
You smell like a leper gnome.
I knew it.
So hot.
A podcast about Hearthstone and Battlegrounds. This is The Angry Chicken.
Greetings. Welcome back, everybody. This is The Angry Chicken, the podcast all about Hearthstone. No matter what the first bumper that played, if you're watching live, has to say. I'm Garrett, here as always with Jocelyn and Ridiculous Hat on the Angry Chicken episode 457, the one where we just retread everything that just happened on Coin Concede last week.
Yeah, we'll just change our name to the Coin Concede recap show.
This is welcome to the latest Coin Concede after show ever. We waited literal days to do an after show
of the show that's not our show.
No.
Is that still an after show?
No, listen, I was asked if I could host an after show for Coin Concede. I said yes, as long as it's on Monday at my regularly scheduled Hearthstone time. Because
it was
a
very strange request, but we approved it over there.
And do you mind if I bring Jocelyn?
Yeah, she can come.
Cool. Cool. Thank you.
I just show up everywhere, whether I'm welcome or not.
I'd like to thank our Ben for all of the Ben-related news that hit Hearthstone last week.
You know, it's the weirdest thing that, like, many of you know this, many of you may not. My human name, my normal name, is Ben, right? But
your
so
human name?
Ridiculous
Hat not a human? What is the persona of Ridiculous Hat? Is it just a sentient hat?
I mean, it's a digital presence. So it's like we could all be bots. I don't know. But yes, it would be a fuzzy hat.
Okay, just making sure I'm on the same hat rack.
I see. But yeah, everyone on Twitter was doing this thing where they changed their names to include Ben, like their display names. As an honor to, you know, to honor Ben Lee. And so I changed my name to Ridiculous Ben, and then, you know, DeckTech messaged me. It's like, even though I know that's a real name, it still looks weird. And I felt the same way. It's just like it didn't feel right.
I most of the time off air call you Hat, because if I need a single syllable way to refer to you.
Yeah, because you wouldn't use the name Ben. That's not single syllable.
Well, yeah, and you remind me of, like, the days of hardcore WoW raiding for me, where I knew a shit ton of other people. Like, whatever the size of the raid was at the time, if it was 40, I knew 39 other people. If it was 10, I knew 9 other people. But I only knew them by their handles. And I knew you as Ridiculous Hat before we knew each other more personally, and I knew your real freaking first name. So you're still Hat to me.
Yeah.
Garrett knows Hat very personally.
Oh, yeah. I don't know where we're going with this.
No. I had no plan.
Listen, I realize that our off-air pre-show talk went places, but let's not bring that extremely private conversation into the podcast.
Fair.
No one will hear anything that was mentioned in that conversation. Well, anyways, there's a lot of Hearthstone news this week, and I had internet trouble, so we're starting late, so let's get into it, starting as we always do by thanking our lovely patrons over at patreon.com/ITN for supporting ITN/TAC. My brain is in 5 billion different places.
Doing TAC, Garrett. This is the one about Hearthstone.
I have had all of my internet service hardware changed out twice in the last 3 months, and it's still intermittently taking a shit.
As
I am very distracted.
So
you can do it, Garrett. We believe in you.
So while Garrett is having a breakdown over there, we just want to really take this moment to say thanks to all of our patrons over at patreon.com/TAC. You help pay for Garrett's mental care, which is mostly getting Katie to make him cocktails while we're doing the show. But we are supported by your epic patrons. You can become a TAC patron by going to patreon.com/TAC. Gives you access to the Discord. There are a lot of nice people over there early. And like, there's all sorts of stuff you can see over there. Battlegrounds talk. And we have a couple great new patrons, Gregory B. and Mike Smith. His first name is Mike, but spelled like Crowphone. Mike Crowphone.
I double checked. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I needed to think about that for a second. I was like a microphone. Oh, yeah. I'm going to have to think about a lot of things today if the start of this podcast is anything to go by. So please excuse me while I remember how to brain.
It's good content, Garrett. So thank you so much, Greg and Mike. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you very much for the support. Really appreciate it. Check out patreon.com/TAC if you want to support Hat, Jocelyn, and myself, and also get access to our Discord server and an ad-free version of the show for your trouble. And now, if you'll excuse me, I'm going to hover over the news bumper, but I'm going to really scrutinize my soundboard to make sure that it says TAC News and not ITN News.
And we have confirmation. Push the wrong button.
Guys, I have good news.
Good news, everyone.
The good news is I found the right button.
So proud of you.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. I realize we were worried that I would not be able to handle pressing a button today. I will be receiving my gold stars now. Please and thank you. In other news, that's bittersweet. It's not necessarily happy or bad. Ben Lee is leaving Hearthstone, which was announced on last week's episode of Coin Conceit. Which, if you are unfamiliar with the podcast Coin Conceit, it is hosted by a third of this podcast.
That is true, but not how I've ever heard it explained before.
Yes, a third of the Angry Chicken is on Coin Conceit regularly in the form of our own ridiculous hat.
Hi.
I tweeted this, but I haven't had a chance to tell it to you in virtual person, which is... That Ben Lee interview was the single biggest scoop I have ever seen in the history of video game content creation.
Hey, thanks.
Like outside of shit that people shouldn't know, like Jason Schreier, outside of things that people shouldn't be told. That was like of things that were approved by community managers and public relations and went through official channels. I've never seen a scoop the size of which y'all got from Ben Lee last week. So I don't want to talk about the news. I just want to talk about what an insane feat that is. And congratulations, dude. That's nutsoid.
Yeah, it's... We were talking to Fabio over in the PR team over there, and he was also surprised. Like, this isn't the sort of thing we normally do with podcasts. But he said podcasts, and I know that what he was thinking was... media outlets, because normally this would be like a letter on the website,
mm-hmm. on their website. It did seem kind of odd that there was like a public announcing, I guess. I'm trying to remember when, like, because I feel like when like Peter Whalen did this same thing where he stepped away from the Hearthstone team and it was all just kind of like a tweet here, a blog post there, like no big deal. And yeah, but this is a full on. It was a thing.
Yeah. He shared with us that he really wanted to go on a community platform and announce his departure just as a way to stay engaged with the players. And, you know, I think that's pretty unusual as far as
stay engaged with the players right before he goes behind the iron curtain that is unannounced Blizzard projects.
Well, like potentially semi-announced because we did the immediate next news item, it may be related. But yeah, I mean, it's obviously a little weird of saying like, hey, you know, really care about the players, bye. But, you know, he didn't really have another way to announce it other than just kind of disappearing. And, you know, we thought it was really cool that he chose a community platform, period, just to tell people what was going on and stay that wired in and explain to us, you know, who was taking over and what was going on and his perspective on the past year of things. And we got some... pretty specific insights as to, well, how well Hearthstone is doing. As a spoiler, it is not a dead game. Game is not dead. And just some things they learned from the past year and where they want to go with the next one.
Yeah. I feel I've gotten a reputation in the last couple of years for being a bit sassy about about things at Blizzard. And when I'm on other shows that are not Hearthstone specific and they ask me how Hearthstone is doing, I go, well, it must be going well. I'm pretty sure it's the only game at Blizzard that is making meaningful money.
Meaningful money, regular content.
There's nothing else. Nothing else is getting updates. Yeah. Nothing else. I realized World of Warcraft just got a really big one, but updates in World of Warcraft are very few and far between.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, this is the one that just came out, and WoW, the previous 9.1 was June. So it's been a hot minute.
It was a while ago. Everyone got hit hard by COVID. So it's not, I've said my piece about 9.2 other places. I'm not going to get on it here. Like, as far
this
as like,
not a Warcraft show, yeah, regardless of what the expansion announcement would have you believe.
Exactly. And like, that sassiness aside, like, it comes to me as a kernel of truth in my mind. Like, I look at Hearthstone being like, this has got to be the top earner right now. Like, looking at the pantheon of Blizzard games and just looking at how frequently everything gets updated and being tapped into multiple Blizzard communities. I play a lot of Battlegrounds. I don't buy a lot of Battlegrounds cosmetics, but who boy does my board get real pretty when people start whooping up on me. I'm like, oh, that's gorgeous. Haven't seen that one before. So things are successfully selling in my anecdotal experience. So I just look at Hearthstone being like, well, you must still just be just printing that money to our audience listeners. I'm making it rain. I'm doing that emote. Yeah.
Okay. Looks like you're giving them a very slow round of applause.
Is that how Canadians clap? They're rubbing their hands. It's a very polite clap. Every clap is a golf clap. Oh, sorry. I cut you off. What were you saying, Joss?
Nothing important.
and me explaining that the dumb hand motion I was doing was
leave that in the show. Very important.
Thank you,
especially for those audio listeners who can not see it.
Really appreciate it.
Very important.
But so Hat, was there anything that happened during your interview with Ben Lee that you kind of want to highlight for everybody, other than just telling them obviously to go listen to Coin Concede because it was a great interview, but anything that stuck out to you in particular?
Let's see. I'm going to go pull up a text recap because something that people that don't do podcasts may not realize is the amount of time between when I say something and when it's gone from my brain is about like 6.5 to 7 seconds. Because that's...
Same.
Yeah. Because people will, they'll like tweet after, be like, oh, I love that thing you said. And like, which thing? What thing was it?
I said words.
Yeah. So I'm trying to remember exactly what we talked about. I don't know. It was the details were obviously light because a game director, the thing that I think is important to know about a game director is if you think of the game director as a lot of people think Ixar is the game director. He's not. But like if you, and he doesn't even design cards all that much anymore. If you think about the game director, someone that gets directly involved with the cards in the game and shaping metas, that's not really it. It's a much, much larger picture perspective. There's a lot of meetings, a lot of talking with executives. There's very little direct design when absolutely needed, but usually if a director-level person has to get that involved, then that typically means something is not right, because they're supposed to have a bird's-eye view and kind of be the connection to higher-level business functions in the company, as well as dealing with, you know, timelines and management and solving problems, and then doing a lot of press and media. So... we were told that Nathan Lyon Smith, who was the former production director, got promoted to executive producer, will be holding down game director for now. I don't think that's a permanent position because executive producer is also like a job by itself. I'm guessing that we will see a posting for a game director position probably an external hire for that. Or maybe Ixar will apply for it and maybe he'll get it. And that would be cool, too. Not sure exactly how that goes. But
I thought you had to be named Ben. I just assumed.
So far, yes. So we'll see who applies.
Ben Bird just kicks the door
down. Is
this down.
Your way of telling us that you're going to be the next game director of Hearthstone, Hat?
I don't think I'm qualified, and I haven't been asked or applied. So probably
so
not.
Maybe.
Probably not. I'm going to say probably not, but I'm not saying no. And if I was asked, I'd say sure. But I don't foresee that happening either.
You don't expect to be asked, though.
I'm not anticipating that currently. I
mean, he teased a ton of other stuff on the show, too. Like, we're getting a new card type? That was teased?
He said types.
Oh, I'm mistaken. It's plural.
Yes. He said types. And then he used the word mysterious when talking about the core set. And that always makes me feel like they're going to bring back Mysterious Challenger. And I don't know if they let Korra put more secret stuff in the game. But if they do, that she would pick that card. Yeah.
Well,
I'd be okay with that.
In that case, Korra should be game director. Because I agree with that decision that has not yet been made greatly. I mean, maybe it's been made and we just don't know about it yet. It's a mystery.
None of your business.
And I did like that we asked him about Mercs, and I did like that he was pretty clear that they didn't have as much content as they would like, and they knew there was a problem with excess coins, and they didn't expect players to get there so fast. He's pretty candid about how it was, like, financially successful, but also there are clearly some issues with how the launch went, and I'm glad that we were able to ask, and he just spoke to it and be like, yeah, it wasn't where we wanted it to be. But he's never really been the sort of person that's had any difficulty saying what's actually going on. Never really held things back.
That said, I still feel like his mercenaries comments seemed more candid than the average interview.
I would think so. I think when the first response to how did mercenaries go is the amount of post-launch content wasn't what we wanted and we have to fix excess coins. For that to be the first answer is like, cool. I would have figured more PR-y answers, but that was just like, nah, it needs to be better. So I've been playing the Mercs event. I agree with them. I would like it to be better, but you know, they're working on it. And what else are they working on, Garrett?
A million things. Apparently we're Warcraft now. Did you know we're Warcraft now? The news this week is Warcraft now.
I thought we were into the Nexus.
Hey, listen.
We're a little bit of everything.
Yeah. Like
hops. Yes. Hey, you know, like 2 weeks ago when we were talking about what other Blizzard properties you liked in Hearthstone? What I stopped myself from screaming was, give HOTS like two more developers, for Christ's sake. Anyways, we got a... I love this being referred to as a save the date. Like it's a freaking wedding. But yeah, save the date for expansion announcements. We got an announcement of announcement. We got a roadmap to announcements.
Yeah, and the Hearthstone Twitter account tweeted out to be ready for April 19th, but that's the Warcraft announcement. The Hearthstone announcement is March 15th, so not April 19th. It's a whole weird PR thing that they've done, and I don't know.
Or is the next Warcraft expansion Hearthstone themed? World of Warcraft, League of Explorers.
Hearthstone, Heroes of Warcraft, Heroes of Hearthstone.
I'm not ready for this.
Hearthstone, Heroes of World of Warcraft, : Wrath of the Reno Jackson.
Oh, God. Yeah, I don't know. It struck me as odd choices, but I mean, like, I don't know. I feel like, and maybe this is just me coming from a place where I am enjoying Hearthstone and not Warcraft, but like, it feels like they're trying to hitch the failing Warcraft wagon to Hearthstone because Hearthstone's still doing well. And so they're like, hey, we have the Hearthstone announcement and also WoW stuff. Still care about that, please.
I'm not going to lie and say that I don't have an extremely cynical brain. That is exactly where my brain went as well.
Because like they haven't included those two together like since Hearthstone launched.
There's one thing that does stick out really prominently in my mind, though, was when we were all memeing on the Microsoft announcement image where Hearthstone wasn't up there. And that was the last time we were making the dudes, what are you doing? Hearthstone's the only game that makes money.
Yeah.
Like, there was conversation in different social spaces saying, well, Warcraft is Hearthstone. It's like, yeah, but it's very on that image. It was very specifically the World of Warcraft logo, which World of Warcraft is like its own game. Mm-hmm. I don't see the WoW logo and think Hearthstone, like, at all whatsoever. But I mean, it is, yes, it is all the Warcraft IP, technically speaking. But this did seem odd, and I just wonder if that's just a direction they're heading. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it seemed odd to me too, just because the Hearthstone announcement was first. So, like, if the Hearthstone announcement was in between a whole bunch of other company announcements and everybody was together, then that would be one thing. But, like, you could have very easily kept them apart. Like, I don't know. Yeah, and then it's like they put the arena championship stuff in the middle of expansion announcements, which, again, usually esports stuff isn't included in with, like, expansion announcements. So I don't know. It was really freaking weird. I don't know what's going on.
It's nothing about this is normal. The announcement is on worldofwarcraft.com. It's signed by the general manager of Warcraft, is the person who gets the writing credit on this. But Hearthstone is the first thing. I mean, maybe the WoW universe, but Hearthstone has never been included in the WoW universe, except when it's convenient for WoW. Like, this is not the sort of thing that happens. They took Heroes of Warcraft out of the name so they could make up more stuff.
And the last year has been like a smorgasbord of made up stuff. The mercenaries are all original characters created for Hearthstone within Hearthstone.
Well, yeah, but come on. The past year of standard expansion releases and the mini sets have been directly ripped from vanilla Warcraft. Like, they didn't make up a thing this year. Like,
we have honor kills on ladder now. We have honor kills in standard ladder, which is a WoW mechanic they just like slammed into the game and made us care about it every single ladder match. So
this is what we're getting at. Like, it is Warcraft, but like the marketing packaging of this. Hey, can you tell the three of us cover this game and that we analyze the marketing packaging of messaging? But it seems strange. It seems weird. Mm-hmm. But also, this could be it. This could be them ripping the bandaid off and being like, this is how we're going to market Warcraft from now on. If it has Warcraft in it, it gets thrown in here unless your name is Heroes of the Storm.
Maybe it'll come back.
Yeah, I don't know. Also, Heroes of the Storm doesn't announce Jack ahead of time at this point. We just wake up one day, 3 months later, going, holy shit, a patch. But it's
interesting right now, the only games with regular routine content updates really are just WoW and Hearthstone. And like, I tried not to read too much into this particular timing and these announcements being combined, because this is BlizzCon line anniversary time. Like, this is a year from the last time they told us stuff. So now is roughly when they tell us stuff. So I don't think the timing is particularly significant. I don't think the fact that these are combined is significant. Just the way they combined it by throwing it on the WoW page is unusual. And
it might have just been like they, I can't remember when they canceled the idea of BlizzCon Line, but it could have been that they were already starting to put stuff together maybe for a BlizzCon Line. And then they decided, you know what, which is kind of odd when you have two expansion announcements. You would think that would be enough to justify a BlizzCon line. But anyways, maybe they just kind of decided that, you know what, it's not happening. We have all these graphics and all this promotion stuff already made for BlizzCon line. Let's just put it out and whatever.
Well, there were also rumors that they were looking to book space for an in-person BlizzCon again. And then
I think there was a job posting, right? For like a BlizzCon organizer or whatever at Blizzard,
that went up
maybe 2 ago.
Yeah. I mean, I know years ago that the BlizzCon became its own separate team. Mm-hmm. I don't remember if there's a job posting or not, but there's just been so much, right? Like COVID stretched on so much longer than anyone wanted or expected. And then just, you know, gestures broadly to everything happening with Activision Blizzard. Not to hand wave it away, but Lord knows we've talked about it enough, and I don't feel like getting back into the detail right now. But it all had an adverse effect on Blizzard. We don't even have the same leader of Blizzard as the last BlizzCon line, and it wasn't that long. I mean, it was almost a year ago. It was a year ago now.
It was the end of February, wasn't it?
Oh, my God.
It was a year ago.
I'm sorry. I'm still coming to terms with post-pandemic life. Time is slipping.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been, I had the reminder of the Ashes of Outland preview event, which was the last time I got on a plane. So it's been 2 years since I've been on a plane. I miss travel. I miss travel a lot. Anyways, Joss, as we abruptly shift gears, oh yeah, Attack will most likely record on Tuesday next week unless something comes up and pushes us to Wednesday, but we're gonna hold out for that expansion announcement. And instead, next week's episode. Welcome back to the Angry Chicken. Nothing new. See you tomorrow. Job's done.
When everything will be new. Yeah.
That's what the Angry Chicken on Monday next week would sound like. So we're just gonna hold off until the expansion gets announced and we'll talk to you then. But Joss, to abruptly shift gears, what's going on in Grandmasters?
Well, I know we haven't really been covering like week to week Grandmasters. We barely cover Masters Tour events. Like, we've really steered away from esports, but I wanted to talk about GM this week specifically because we had the debut of a new format. So Trio format was showcased this weekend over at GM's. And I don't know if you guys actually got to watch much, but I thought it was kind of cool. I thought it was a cool idea. And I think I found the games to be interesting. I know there was a lot of mirror matches because there were warriors in four of the five available buckets, which is an interesting choice. But I thought it was a cool idea. Did you guys watch any of it, or is this just me talking to myself for the next 10 to 15 minutes?
So, Garrett, we're good. Don't worry. I'm going to guess you did not watch it.
I moved rocks and played Elden Ring this weekend. That's what I did.
That's cool. Yeah. So, it was more a question for Hat, but I didn't want to make you feel left out.
Yes. Garrett, we think you're great. Most of my time this weekend was spent in Gotham with the Dark Knight himself, because those that don't know, I work in a movie theater and Batman kicked my ass all weekend. And then when I wasn't there, I was mostly in the Lands Between for Elden Ring. However, I have been floating in the sphere of Trios and of GM in general. Like, I didn't watch any of the matches in particular, but I talked to a lot of the people that were, like, I talked to a couple GMs and I watched the Twitter thing. And so there was a format.
Wait, the Twitter thing? What was the Twitter thing?
Well, people tweeted about Trios.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought you meant, like, there was some specific thread or something else, but
Twitter.
Okay, so you're aware of thoughts around the format from various levels of involvement.
Correct. Yes.
Okay. So very quickly, before we get too far, the Trio format, in case you got, because I know we covered it when it was first announced, but in case you've forgotten or in case you haven't watched GM, Trio is a tool, a new format that Blizzard has intended to give tournament organizers in order to kind of create their own unique, like, micro meta almost within their tournament environment. So all the players are given a choice of, in this case, it was five buckets. I don't actually know if that's like a set number of buckets or if they can offer more or less, whatever, depending on tournament organizer preferences. But each bucket had three classes in it. And so players chose one of the buckets. There's no bans, and you just had to bring one deck for each of the classes in your bucket. So this past weekend in GM, there was Druid Hunter Warrior, Mage Priest Rogue, Priest Shaman Warrior, Mage Priest Warrior, and Demon Hunter Paladin and Warrior. So for some reason, they chose not to allow Warlock in any way, shape, or form. So it's also kind of like it could potentially be like a class ban, if you want to think of it that way, because a tournament organizer could just choose to allow different combinations of only like five or six classes potentially. It's really up to the tournament organizer's discretion. And so I think four buckets with Warrior in them is kind of an odd choice for introducing the format, I thought.
Yeah, I know Abar spoke a little bit to how the buckets were chosen. This was the first Trios tournament ever. So
yeah,
I understand that. This is going to be a difficult format in the future because it's going to be almost impossible to think of all the different strategies that people are going to take. And the format is completely driven by the buckets. You have to have buckets that people can metagame against them. You know what the most popular one's going to be or have an idea, and then you can metagame against that. You can do different things. And the people that I talked to said that with this much Warrior in buckets, it actually created a different problem than you might expect, in that Control Warrior is unplayable when everyone has Warrior and the quest is available, because you can't beat the Juggernaut with a control deck. That's just not going to happen. And none of the buckets made sense to bring Control Warrior against. There's not going to be any aggro here. So you ended up with...
And yet there were 12 different people who decided they were going to bring Control Warrior.
And it didn't do all that well, if I recall.
It didn't. No. Well, Pirate Warrior was much better. Yeah.
much better. So I think it's going to be a hard format to curate when it goes well. If you get the right buckets, I think it could be some of the best stuff that Hearthstone has to offer. But it's also going to depend on the format. There was a format 2 GM seasons ago where you had to bring a deck from all 10 classes.
And yeah, that was what was that Barons. Called?
Yeah. I don't even know if the format had a name. They tried it one week ever and it was gone forever. Where you had to bring a deck from all 10 classes, and then you ended up banning 6 from the other player and you had to win with 3 of your remaining 4. And a lot of the classes like Shaman and Paladin just didn't have real decks to play at the time, if I recall. And so people played a lot of Murlocs or a lot of main deck Hunger Crabs.
That was so weird. Yeah. That tournament was like, you were just watching a whole bunch of terrible decks. And it was just like, why is this happening? This is not, like you say, not the best Hearthstone has to offer. I did think it was kind of interesting because, I mean, we did see versus like week 1 of GMs, which is the most recent kind of high level play example that we have in this like smaller condensed tournament format, whatever you want to call it. We basically still saw a lot of Demon Hunter and Druid, but based on week 1 of GMs, like basically everybody or almost everybody brought Demon Hunter and Druid. And you couldn't do that this week because Demon Hunter and Druid were in 2 different buckets. So that kind of shook up at least the decks that we were seeing the individual players pilot, which I thought was really interesting. And then where we had 12 Warlocks in week 1, we had none in week 2 because, again, it wasn't in any buckets. And obviously way, way, way more Warriors, way more Hunters, way more Paladins. So it did actually have the effect of shaking up the GM meta, which I thought was really interesting. We also saw the Hunter deck shift from the full-on like face Hunter version into the quest version, which is still fairly aggressive, but at least it was different than just, you know, like the same old face Hunter deck that we've seen time and time again. So there were some alterations to the GM meta. It just like maybe wasn't as altered as like that format you were talking about that we can't remember the name of hat where everybody played bad decks. Like you could still play good decks, you just couldn't play every single good deck, which I think led to some interesting matchups and some interesting strategies.
They should have called that format "Everybody Get in Here."
Right.
Yeah, I think the main concern that I saw this week from the players was that they didn't love the decks they felt like they had to play. GMs don't usually bring Quest, Warrior, Paladin, whatever, to like those aren't the sort of things that we normally see. So that was why I brought up the other format, because the concern that I saw from GMs is being forced to play something that they didn't want to because there were no actual good options available to them. Because you don't really see a lot of Quest, Warrior in GM. It's not the sort of thing that really performs all that well, and the players here know how to deal with it, and it doesn't line up, except here you kind of had to. So I do think that if you're looking for a change from the previous week's decks, if you want to do that, you can't do better than Trio because they literally made playing last week's decks illegal. You can't do it. It's not allowed.
You cannot play last week's lineups. Yeah.
But beyond that, I think I'd be curious to see where this goes. I wouldn't call it a failure at all. Like, I think it's much more interesting than that other format. And I think it's in terms of third week formats, which they've never really solved. They've tried Specialists, they tried 10 deck ban 6. This is the first one that I'm curious about, but it's going to depend a lot on how the buckets are picked. And I would be curious to see if they can figure out groups of buckets where there's no obvious, clear, correct strategy or no exploitable angle. If they can figure that out, then that'll be great, but it's going to vary from event to event just because they're making up these new buckets every single time, and I don't know. I just wouldn't pick it the same way that they did here.
Yeah, and all the cards are going to be different and everything else. Like right now, we're in a 6-set meta, which I think makes this format maybe it's most viable right now because there are a lot of different options. They may not be the absolute best deck in the game, but there are a lot of different options for different classes. Like, even if you picked like certain buckets, like you still had options for warrior, you still had options for, you know, hunter, and you weren't kind of necessarily pegged down into one specific deck. If you did the same sort of format, like if you did trio in, say, a month and a half from now or whenever the rotation happens, then all of a sudden your players have a lot less options. And then we start approaching, or potentially approaching, basically the type of tournament that we saw with the 10 deck thing, where everyone's just playing shit because that's all that's available to them in the bucket. So I think if you're ever going to do it, this is kind of the time of the year to do it. And it also, you know, gives you the option of soft banning some classes and maybe shaking some things up. So I don't know. I think it has a lot of promise. I enjoyed the, like I said, I enjoyed the games. I watched a lot on Saturday, and yeah, I thought it was interesting. I mean, I'm sad that to hear that, you know, some of the players maybe didn't want to play the decks that they were playing, but they're also being here to, they're being paid to be here for my entertainment. So dance, players, dance.
I don't know. It's strange. I would get mad at Heroes of the Storm when they would play on one patch older than we were playing on at home, because I like my esports to as closely represent my experience at home as possible, because that's why I get invested. So this kind of thing, like, is a major turnoff to me. I'm like, you're,
well,
just,
I mean, it already doesn't really, and, right? Like,
well, yeah, Hearthstone already struggles with that because we still only have best of one formats in the game
to begin with.
Almost a decade later.
Yeah. They already have that problem, and this definitely makes it more of a problem, I think, because, like I said, they have, you know, soft class bans. They've also got kind of like weird, like forcing people into certain types of lineups kind of way. And, you know, like there's definitely a lot of control in the tournament organizers' hands versus in the players' hands, which I can understand being a player it might not be a fan of. But I think as a viewer, it was a better experience for me, again, not caring that I don't have the same concern as Garrett. I like watching competitive Hearthstone, even though I can't then go play competitive Hearthstone.
Not easily anyway, right? Like,
yeah,
you could join a league, but it's not.
I could join
really,
a league. I could
it's
do
not quote unquote supported
in game qualifiers, but yeah, no, yeah. Not my thing.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting,
so
for sure.
I just wanted to chat about it because I thought it was something cool that Hearthstone Esports is doing that's different. And we're in the kind of transition phase. There's only one more week of GMs before playoffs because they're only doing 3 weeks of competition, 1 week of playoffs this time around. So yeah, we're in the twilight years of GM. So I'm glad they're trying stuff. I thought it was cool.
I think you're dead on. The one thing I definitely agree with is someone who doesn't follow closely, and I'm definitely unsure about this format, but the thing you're dead on about is, like, this is the time to experiment. Like, this is, I think, absolutely the best time to be doing it. So happy to see it. Well, we got a patch, y'all. We're this far into the episode and we haven't gotten to the fact that we got a freaking patch last week.
When it comes to standard, this was more of a bug fix.
Yeah.
I see what you're getting at. Well played. Well played. Are you saying it was that possible because Kazakhstan was changed, but not Kazakhstan self, but specifically locusts? It's been removed from the pool of treasures that can be discovered.
Yeah. Also, they did fix an actual bug with Smuggler.
Yes.
And then 14 other ones with locusts.
Yeah. It's like 14 other bugs. Oh, wait, because the summoning the got
just,
it.
I just tried to move past it, but I couldn't.
Sorry.
They also changed how Smuggler reads, right?
So,
yes.
Informant and Smuggler had the same text but worked differently. Informant said gain +1/+1 for each SI7 card you played this game, but it meant each other SI7 card, and that was how it was programmed. This one had the same wording, but was programmed to count itself. And it's worth noting, they could have kept the functionality on this card the same and just changed the wording and had it say each other, but start at 1 instead of at 0. But they didn't want to do that. They wanted it to work the way that it works now. So it is a nerf instead. That's fine.
Gotcha. So the consistency, but still technically a nerf.
Yeah.
Yeah, we find
it's
ourselves.
It's like, you could still play Quest Rogue. The card is worse, but not significantly worse to the point where you would stop playing it or that the deck like has any major trouble. The meta has shifted in a way that is fairly hostile towards Quest Rogue, at least in my experience so far, that there's a lot more just damage or minion removal, because you really don't want to play against Landslide and Snowfall Guardian, and you really don't want to play against a bunch of damage from hand. And the Druid matchup is close, and I do think the Smuggler change is impactful there, where you would sometimes just get more crap early that they couldn't deal with, and now the stuff is smaller so they can scale it away. But yeah, it's still fine. But Druid has not really changed much at all here. I don't mind that Locust is gone, but I don't really view this as a power level adjustment, more of a feeling thing.
Mm. Well, cool. That's been live for days now at the time of recording this, so you already know if you're happy or not with these changes if you're listening. So let's move on. Before we get to Battlegrounds, we have a sponsor to thank today. This episode is sponsored by Honey. Today's episode is sponsored by Honey. Thanks to Honey, manually searching for coupon codes is a thing of the past, and you should go check it out at joinhoney.com/TAC. If you've never heard of Honey before, it is the free shopping tool that scours the internet for promo codes and applies the best one it finds to your cart. I bought another car part, and Honey saved me three more dollars.
I just love, I feel like your entire existence ever since you got your new car has just been you searching for car parts.
Pretty much, yeah.
It's like just always a tab on your browser open, and if there's ever a lull in anything, Garrett's just like, is it time to look for car things? I think it's time to look for car things. Guys, can we look for car things?
Pretty much, yeah. And Honey's just there being like, yo, we found a coupon. You want to save some money? I'll be like, yes, please. This is an extremely expensive hobby. If I could save a few bucks, this is the only hobby I've ever had that costs more than Hearthstone.
Plus, then you can say, I had to buy it because look how much money Honey saved me.
Yeah, actually, that's untrue. Used to play Magic. That's 100% untrue.
Yeah. Was Magic more expensive than the car? That we'll cover that in another episode.
Depends on what, not the Magic I played. I played Limited, so not more expensive than a car. But yeah, I know I mention this every time. But Joss, you and I have both had Honey installed since like the first time they ever sponsored an episode, which was years ago. Honey is like a legit supporter of the show. We really appreciate it, and we do use them. And I was one of those people that just sat there searching for coupon codes because I just saw that field there, and I'm like, I know if I could just find the right random assortment of digits or the right code from another podcast that I don't listen to, that I could save some money. And Honey's just like, I listen to all the podcasts. I'm not sure that's exactly how it works. Probably not, but it found codes and I got discounts. So you should go check them out. If you don't already have Honey, you could be straight up missing out. And by getting it, you'll be doing yourself a solid and supporting the Angry Chicken. We wouldn't recommend something we don't use, and we use Honey. So get Honey for free at joinhoney.com/TAC. That's joinhoney.com/TAC. Don't forget to type join before Honey. I've done it myself. joinhoney.com/tech. We thank them for their support. We thank you for supporting the brands that support us here at the Angry Chicken. And now it's time to talk Battlegrounds.
Have a good battle, friend.
We also got quite a few Battlegrounds changes, and I looked after day one at win rates to see how things had shaken up, and it was day one, and I thought to myself, you're an idiot, Garrett. Things aren't going to move that much. But I looked at them today, and I'm like, wow, yeah, things have moved around. Mostly things that got nerfed falling wildly out of competitive play, and whatever was below it moving up. We now live in a world where King Mukla has the highest average placement on HS replay if you're looking at the top 20%, which is MMR 6,800 and above. What?
That's bananas!
What?
I was gonna say it! I was gonna...
B-A-N-A-N-A-S!
Hats quit!
I'll stay this time.
Sorry, not sorry.
No, you're not.
Joss, I'm just going to assume you were a really big, maybe still are, Gwen Stefani fan.
Obviously. I love her.
Obvi. And you're not one of those, like, no doubt purists. I bet you were just the whole ride.
Oh, the whole way. All of it. Even the Christmas and the country shit.
Wait, she has a Christmas album?
Yes.
Ooh, okay. Okay.
You were a true Hollaback girl.
I was. Still am.
Yeah, no to the country shit. But anyway.
That's Blake's doing.
Listen, you know, it just means she has a healthy relationship and they're intermingling and it's all good. It's all good. You could do better, Gwen. Anyways, moving on. Blake's music sucks.
Garrett with the spicy takes here.
I'm just saying, one is a talented musician and the other is Blake.
Wow.
One is attractive, the other is Blake.
Yeah, Blake is the thank you chat room. We saw that bad. Like, Garrett's going in. Maybe we should go in on some patch notes before we get some sort of like cease and desist or something.
Not
Blake
the biggest
Shelton's
country
PR.
Music fan in general. Not the biggest country music fan in general. But anyways. Quite a few things have been nipped. As far as hero updates, Tamsin Rome had the fragrant phylactery. I should be showing this. What am I doing? I could be showing this. Yep. Fragrant phylactery hero power change used to cost one, start a combat, destroy your lowest health minion, give its stats to all your minions. Now it costs zero, start a combat, destroy your lowest health minion, give its stats to four friendly minions.
Was she that crazy good? Because this feels like a weird change. Like,
wasn't there...
Well, like, buff to the cost, but nerf to the effect.
I think this is a buff. Like, overall, I think this is a buff. Just zero versus one is such a huge deal. And I believe Tammy was still pretty close to the bottom. And even now, she's still pretty close to the bottom. But a gold for what she gave before just still was pretty prohibitive. So I think this is overall a buff.
That's fair.
I would imagine they batted this around. I don't know if they were on Sims, but maybe they did. And they were like, oh, no, this should be good. It's too much to leave it as is and be free. But now they can start tacking on one more minion at a time, I would assume, if Tamsin isn't coming in where they want her to be. And I would assume they probably don't want her to be still one of the lower heroes in the game. Then we got a lot of buddy updates. Bud dates? No. There's got to be something there.
We'll find it eventually.
I can't find it. But I keep thinking in my head, I want to say Wag Toggle was nerfed, when in reality, Wag Toggle's buddy was nerfed. Elder Tagawag is now a tier 3 unit with 5-4. So you're like, well, Garrett, that's a buff. But now it's whenever you play a minion of a type you don't control, trigger your hero power, and in parentheticals, two left this turn, and it counts down, and you do it two times, and you go, well, now it just feels like I'm always in a no elemental lobby.
Yeah, and Lich Baziel's buddy got the same change, which is putting a two per turn counter on her buddy, as well as the lowering of the tavern tier. And I mean, I don't know. I agree that this probably needed to be done. It feels like maybe a little bit of an overcorrection to only let them do it twice per turn, because like you said, off the top of the segment, these heroes have kind of plummeted. So I think that it was not a great healthy place for Battlegrounds to be in, where there was certain lobbies that you could just be guaranteed to win, right? Like, that just didn't
feel good. Guaranteed, almost guaranteed a top two. Almost all cases guaranteed a top three.
But basically, I think like saying guaranteed a win, guaranteed top four, like it wasn't a stretch because you're so powerful early game with these guys and you can normally transition into stuff that, you know, either you're big enough or you're able to transition into stuff that'll help you win in the late game. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like there's got to be a happy medium, because I did kind of like that these two heroes gave you a way to play the game that was totally different from everybody else. And the problem is that because you were staying on Tavern Tier 1 and the minions there are so plentiful, it was just way too easy to kind of just get those rolling, you know, situations where things kind of got out of control. But I did like that there were heroes that were just like, nah, I'm staying down here with the little guys for the whole time, and I can still win like that. I just think it was a little bit too consistent. But this, to me, these changes to Queen Wagtoggle and Lich Basiel's buddies, I feel like is a little bit of overkill. But now they can tweak the number of times per turn, right? And find a happy place.
They could tweak that. I realize this minion card tax is basically already a max length, and Hearthstone is a game where they really prioritize keeping card text manageable. But this is something too where it's been rattling around in my brain along the lines of what you were saying, where because of the fact that it brings on this strategy that incentivizes you to stay at tier one, that it makes me want this to be like, include scaling in some other way, like maybe have it upgrade your hero power with your tavern tier level. Like maybe it does an extra plus one on the attack.
Then three, then four as you go. Yeah.
And maybe not +1/+1 every single time. Maybe it's +1 attack. And then when you go up to tier three, it's +1 health. And when you're tier four, another attack. Tier five, another health. And then tier six in here, enjoy a whole extra 1/1 at the end, something like that. It'd be hell to write this on this tag
in a way that made sense. Yeah.
but I, to me, the bigger problem is that you have this one freaking hero that just wants to chill on one and laugh all the way to the wind bank.
It's probably worth noting, when I filter HS Replay by top 20% and current patch, Wagtoggle is 15th, which is not really as bad as I was expecting. She gets a more fourths than seconds now. Averages around 4.19, so below fourth place, but not by a lot. And the most important part is that she's only taken about 11% of the time, so they nerfed her play rate, and she is worse. But you can absolutely still do the Wagtoggle thing if you really like that play pattern. It's a worse thing to do when you are really unlikely to win, but if you enjoy that play style, you will probably top four with it if you get it going. I can't be quite as kind about Basiel, because she's fifth from the bottom, which is not very good. Well, of course she's dead. She's a lich.
Well, but I found, like, so I did get a chance to play a few different matches as her. And I found that by the time I kind of like got my buddy on board and things were starting to go my way, quite often I was at somewhere between 15 and 20 health. Like, I'd taken a pretty big chunk of damage. And it only really took losing one round to somebody else who was doing something super powerful. And then I was basically out of the game. So I feel like that was when I could do infinity damage to my face and it would get absorbed by my buddy. So now that I can only do that twice per turn and I'm not scaling as big, I think she's probably losing a lot more rounds when she's only on her, you know, 15 to 20 health. And then you've only got, you know, maybe two losses by that point in the game. And then you're just out. So I think that's very likely why, because she's losing health as she's building up her minions. It's probably why she saw a lot more of a drop once she lost her big I don't even want to call it a power spike, because it just was kind of like constant, right? But I think she was definitely affected by the change more than Wagtoggle, just because of that health loss on her way 100%. Up.
Maybe six left this turn for starters, just to see. We can bring it back. If we wanted to also talk about falling, we could talk about Vol'jin, because Vol'jin's buddy was nerfed. It used to be 8 attack, 5 health at the end of your turn. Adjacent minions copy this minion's attack. It's now a 6/5. Who cares? Because at the end of your turn, the minion to the left of this copies this minion's attack. And so you're just getting literally half the power. Still a 4-star, which is really important about this. It still comes on wicked late. I think a month ago now, we were having a conversation that seemed about how it seemed like most top heroes had a low tier buddy.
Mm-hmm.
And Vol'jin, I think, was an example I brought up as an exception to that rule.
I still feel like, because I know Slissa was super complaining about Vol'jin as well. I feel like there was some like memo I missed or some like play style or something, because like I could never get him to work. I'm so bad with him.
Yeah, you would just
like, was there a super cheesy way to play this guy?
there were potentially, but I also just had average games where I just had buffed a couple mechs really big, and then I moved that giant attack to Master Gadrin, and then suddenly my Deflecto bots were freaking huge. My harvesters were freaking huge. Just everything
maybe
on my board.
Maybe because I wasn't playing with mechs. Maybe that was the problem.
Yeah, find cleave, find divine shield resets, find anything that gives divine shield, find anything that scales or grows.
Holy mackerels. Find some holy mackerels.
Holy mackerels were disgusting.
Okay. So yeah, I think I probably just chose to play him in the wrong lobby. I think I had him once with elementals, and once I played him with
elementals can be good too. If you get
I didn't get Bouncy Boy.
Major Domo could work really well with elementals and Vol'jin as well.
Yeah. There are a lot of ways elementals already scale pretty well. Like the divine shields are definitely the busted part here, and just moving stats onto minions that are not supposed to have those stats. Like you could do it with a cave hydra or whatever, but divine shields are definitely like the magic here. Even early game in a bronze warden, you just kill two huge things. Like that's already pretty powerful. So this is the kind of nerf where it's like Illidan, where they nerfed it hard enough that the golden version of the card is the same as the old base buddy. And every time we've seen that kind of nerf, it has killed the hero.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, Vol'jin's down.
Vol'jin's chat room down. Didn't know what I meant by Bouncy Boy. It's the Wind Fury Defined Shield elemental guy. He bounces all around. Bouncy Boy.
I didn't know what you meant by Bouncy Boy either. Yeah. And I was just like, I don't know what that means, but I know it doesn't mean Major Domo, which is where I was going with this.
I thought it meant Leapfrogger, because he bounces.
You know. Leapfrogger, I got... You know, Bouncy Boy would also work for Leapfrogger. I accept that. But yes, I did mean Cyclone.
Yeah, that's not a huge jump.
Hey, you know who else's stock is down is Brucon, because the Spirit Raptor went from Tavern Tier 2 to Tavern Tier 3. Which,
man,
if you
he
were
makes
curious,
such long lobbies.
Yeah, man. If you were curious how important the Tavern Tier of a buddy is, case in point, freaking, where is he now? 4.6 average
bottom of
placement.
Tier 3. Yeah, he's
used to be top 5.
He's worse.
Much worse.
So much worse. And then we got buffs. I haven't checked all of these. Barov got buffed.
Barov got nerfed. That was another nerf.
Barov did get nerfed.
Yep.
Sorry. Yeah, this is the one that had the dev comment about how in their mind, Barov's average power level was reasonable, but some games had extreme results when enough wagers were won. This change aims to slow down the power spike in those cases. And yeah, Barov's is kind of in the dumpster too.
Yeah, so that was just it went from a tier 2 to a tier 3. And then the stats on the buddy did get buffed, but yeah, the getting it later meant that, you know, it pushes that effect back. So like we said with Vol'jin, Brucon, just changing a tavern tier makes a big difference, and pushing it back to later in the game makes a big difference.
Yeah. We talked about Tamsin, just confused all around on this one.
Yeah, this is, she's just, I'm pretty sure this is a nerf, because it's tier 3 to tier 4. 2 health is not fixing that. I don't really know what's going on with Tamsin.
To attack as well, because that's what Monstrosity does.
Right.
Gain its attack. It doesn't gain its own attack. But still, Tamsin's not having a great time.
I'm not sure if I've ever actually picked her. Played a Tamsin game.
No. I definitely have not.
I feel like she's just been so low that usually I have many other options. Like, she's usually my third or fourth, like, hero in terms of power level in my offerings. And I kind of look at her and I go, I don't feel like losing today. Plus, I have nowhere to practice, so I can't even learn how to play you. So I don't know how to play you, and you have a total shit ranking. So I'm just going to just not.
Elise is still doing terrible. Tess is still, we can say, almost doing as good as Brucon now. But Brucon now is tier 3.
Yeah, Brucon now is not the bar you want to hit.
yeah, really. No one that got buffed is really doing well enough that I would recommend you play them.
I do want to try Elise. I mean, I know her buddy got moved up a tier, but I feel like it's so much better, though, right? Instead of reducing your maps by one, they just cost one.
So Elise is the lowest ranked buddy we talked about today.
Oh, damn it. Really? Lower than Tagawag?
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Lich Baziel is lower.
Yes.
Oh, right. Yeah. Baziel. I was like, I knew it was one of the two. Damn it. Yeah.
Okay, Wagtoggle's
still fine.
As Hat pointed out, still doing okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's a top four hero. It's very strange to me that Malygos in the top five, I get Mukla, Deathwing, Daryl, AFK. Wouldn't have guessed those.
Maybe Daryl. Maybe Daryl's been a sleeper. It's just
AFK got a lot better in the first round of buddy changes, and did Deathwing too, I think.
Yeah,
I felt like I didn't see Deathwing for months, like 8 months. Didn't see Deathwing ever. He kind of had his heyday and then poof, gone. But yeah, he's back with a vengeance.
Yeah, I'm trying. I haven't gotten Muckley even offered. I don't even know offhand what his buddy even is. Oh, it's a crazy monkey. After you feed a minion banana, give it +1/+1. Boy, mechs are doing great, and it doesn't surprise me. So many buddies empower mechs, and boy, does this one empower mechs.
Mechs is also the best comp over dragons. Divine Shield, pretty good right now.
It's the Divine Shield, yeah, for sure. Yep. Which makes me wonder if they're going to take a look at Mechrel again and maybe get rid of it. Because I feel like that's the one that makes me angry the most.
I'd like them to take a larger picture look at the dynamic that we have right now of Divine Shield and Poison. All the high placing things here are the mechs and dragons are the Divine Shield focused, and then Murlocs are right after with Poison, and a lot of the other stuff just falls pretty far, pretty fast.
Yeah, it's hard to outscale Divine Shield for most types. And then if you're trying to outscale Divine Shield so you can, you know, soak two hits from a minion while still having your stuff be alive, then anyone else is going to be going for poison stuff, right? So, like, it feels like it's too slow to scale to beat Divine Shield, and you kind of have to try to find a ghoul, and even oftentimes that's not enough, but then also you're super dead to poison and everything you've done doesn't matter, and that feels bad too. So yeah, it's in an interesting spot, I think, right now.
I right now feel like I miss Menagerie and I miss Quobor.
It's right now just seems like there should be a window between the poison Divine Shield stuff getting set up and then paying off, because it feels like there's not really a set turn or a few turns where you can just have your stuff come on a little faster and be like, be demons or be mid-game pirates or whatever, and actually kill somebody with that and get into the top four. That window closes so, so quick.
They're not vulnerable.
I feel like I pretty consistently get top four if I'm hitting what I need to hit with really any composition. Like if I have a powerful Quobor, if I have a powerful demon comp, I feel like top four is easy. Top three is where it just feels like there was nothing I could do except, I don't know, get lucky with my own Death Rattle Divine Shields, which it doesn't feel realistic right now. Cause if I want a selfless hero, because I'm not a comp that has like direct access to Divine Shield, I need to get golden selfless and need to find a Baron. So I need a dead, like,
it's first two of spots.
All, finding golden selfless, but I need to dedicate two of my seven spots to just getting Divine Shield on my five other minions. And 9 times out of 10, it ends up the Baron. And I go F the F the FFF.
And you go, what now?
Yes, you get the idea. You get the idea. Okay, it's a family show. It's a family show, despite all the penis jokes. Family show.
What are you going to say? That?
No, I'm not going to follow that. I'm not going to
following that up.
Not going to try and make a segue here.
Yeah, I'm still like I share concerns about Divine Shield and Poison, but I'm still just sitting here being like, Are we going to see armor attempted before they decide to sunset buddies? Because to me, it's been long enough that I'm concerned, because I would like to see if armor could bring up some of these just wickedly low placing heroes.
I thought they were supposed to bring it back. Like the way they were talking about it when Buddies first released, I thought it was a week or two away. I thought they were like, yeah, we'll just let you guys mess around with stuff. And maybe this is like the final wave of Buddy changes and they're going to get it to a fairly healthy place. But at the same time, armor would really help get to that really healthy place. So I don't know why they're holding off.
We're getting 0.6 next week, right? Because we're getting the last patch of this expansion next week because they have to turn on pre-orders. And the pre-orders are always in the 0.6 patch.
Yeah.
So there will be a major patch next week. Don't know if there will be more constructed balance changes or whatever, but they have to put the pre-orders in the game, and that means assets, and that means a download, and that means 0.6. And that is the opportunity they have to bring armor back, to make any other larger scale changes to any of the formats that they want to change. Now is the time.
Yeah, because Battlegrounds really won't be changed again in theory until the next 0.2 patch.
Correct.
Right?
Which is another couple of months. That should be May-ish to June-ish. Yeah. So in that case, I would imagine, I mean, we've got Buddies for a while. I would be surprised we had Buddies for less than 6 months. Like, it might be less than that, maybe 4 months, but I'd be surprised if it was less than 4 to 6 months. So we'll see armor again, and they have lots of opportunities to make other changes here. I don't know what they're looking for. I don't know what they're going to try and do, but I would expect to see the armor system come back in the next major patch, which should be next week.
This is where I want to hear, like, inside notes, because I'm just curious. Like, what are they waiting for? Because, like, for the longest time, we were saying, oh, they just want to see data. And it's like, I'm looking at Nature's Replay just from the most recent patch, which was less than 7 days ago, and they have over 2 million games logged. I can't imagine what internal stats are.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even fathom, because this is just...
That's
those
just
of us who decided to go and download the tracker.
Yeah, tracker for Battlegrounds, and yeah. Not everybody even uses the... Well, I like the stats. I like to know, even though it seems like since Buddies came in, stats are sometimes a little wonky, but... I like to know. I like to know when I like win those 1% games.
I would guess at this point it's a tech limitation turning armor back on is going to be a larger process than, you know, just changing some numbers in the Buddies. So
I don't know about that. I still think it's a balancing concern.
Mm. Yeah. Maybe they tried, but then they had some sort of issue with, like, you know how there was like the Kel'Thas and Chinvala that had the bubbles over their hero powers, and that somehow caused an issue? Maybe armor is in that same thing. They went to turn it back on and everything exploded.
You're like, yeah, we turned on armor, but every hero that had a hero power was unplayable.
Yeah. You're fine if you're passive, but...
Who knows? But Gary, you could be right that it could also be just they don't know so many variables in play here with the Buddies. They're still trying to figure it out that maybe armor would break something they don't want to break.
Well, yeah, in that case, that's where, like, for dramatic effect, I don't know, you've got, like, 20 absolute shit heroes. Maybe give them armor and just see how it goes.
Sure.
Just 5 each. Who cares?
Yeah, just see. Hey, Tess, here's 20. Good luck. Have fun. Sneed, I don't know, 60. Who cares? You're still going to lose.
Poor Sneed.
He had his moment. He did fine. Shudderwalk and Sneed and Illidan down at the bottom, they had their
moment. It was like 2 weeks.
I don't even remember when Sneed was crazy good.
Remember when you were stacking sixes on sixes for one gold?
No.
Oh, man, that's interesting. So I did just drop filtering because I was curious how many games in total have been logged since the most recent patch on the 3rd. So I'm no longer looking at top 20%, which was a 6,800 MMR filter. Looking at everyone, guess who the top hero is? So imagine you're assuming all from MMR 0 to the highest MMR. Who do you think the top hero is? Do not look, please.
Rat King.
Hat?
I looked.
Oh.
Lord Jiraxxus.
Yep. I mean, demons are straightforward. That makes sense, I think.
It's press button buff demon. It's about as on rails as it gets, and also the only hero that makes you actually want to play demons anymore because you're no longer competing with Lich Queen because she's not being picked.
She's not stealing your stuff.
Yeah. So I get it. Wouldn't have been what I expected. I also did not expect at top 20% for Jrax to be number 6.
Mm.
Wouldn't have expected
either. He's powerful, period. Yeah.
demons are a bit of a sleeper. The problem is, I think if that it's normally advice I would give to newer players, and demons are very, very popular at lower MMR lobbies. Like still, they are still just a real.
Accidentally kill yourself with them on your shopping phase turn.
Okay, if we're talking to brand new players, yes, that is a great piece of advice.
I literally did that on stream like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
If we're talking to brand new players and Jocelyn, who still has an MMR higher than me, yes. Yes.
Sometimes you just get distracted.
Listen, I agree.
That'll happen.
Sometimes Joss kills herself with demons. Sometimes Garrett gets first place with Alexstrasza. Anything can happen. Anything can happen.
Those are my favorite screenshots, by the way.
I bet they are. I like to think you framed them.
Yes.
You put them right next to Life Drinker as Joss was right again. The sequel. No, Joss was right too.
It's on the ceiling of my bedroom. So I see it first thing when I wake up and for last thing when I go to sleep. I'm just like, Garrett played Alexstrasza in one. Sweet
I don't
dreams.
Want anyone thinking about me that often.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah. Hey, you do you. And on that note, our listeners will do them and send us emails.
We've had some kind of rough segues this week, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Listen, we started 30 minutes late because my ISP is once again screwing up. I'm really off my game tonight. So here it is, emails. It's a segue. I don't care.
Hello?
Hello, it's me.
Hello.
Just quickly, do you get my message?
Yep.
Oh.
Hello, brother.
I may not care about segues, but I do care about what you are thinking, what questions you have, what hot topics are burning in the back of your brain. Send your emails to tacpodcast@gmail.com, or if you're supporting us on Patreon, first off, thank you. It's very kind. You don't have to. I don't know if you noticed the show is free. It's a terrible business model. I know. But thank you for supporting us on Patreon. You can message us directly in the Discord and just skip that inbox. You can at us. You got a question, you're like, oh, really? If you're free right now, I wouldn't mind if you took a look at this and gave me an answer. You can do that. It's totally fine. That's what the Discord is there for, is a perk you get for supporting us. Anyways, Diego, why did I say it that way? Diego-centric. Vigilant chat room says, hot topic, your inner emo is showing. My inner emo is always showing because I chose to stretch my ears to a point where they will no longer close.
I was going to say, it's not an inner emo, it's an outer emo.
It's very outer. Yes. Yeah. Yep. Yep. Anyway, Diego Centric wrote into our Patreon Discord and said, as of late, Hearthstone has been getting a lot more comfortable using cosmetics as a way to monetize the game. Do you think there is a possibility of this leading to cards with alternate art that can only be obtained through packs? I sure hope so. I've been wanting alternate art since the beginning of time. It's always one of my favorite things. Like I loved alternate art in Magic. I love full art lands because I don't need to read a text box that just tells me what freaking color the land is. I know what color freaking land is because I know land. And I loved even things as simple as like a stamp, like a little foil stamp on a card to note that you got it from a pre-release or something. I still have like an E3 Pikachu Gen 1 Pokemon that I just unearthed from my old bedroom from high school. Well, I got it in grade school, but this is my high school bedroom. Anyway, too much information. I love that kind of stuff. Subtle little differences that make the cards unique. It was cool when they were doing BlizzCon cards like ETC and stuff, but I that stuff was cool, but like those cards very rarely saw play. I would love it if they gave us like a really basic ass card that just saw a lot of play and it just had like a little BlizzCon logo on it. I'd be stoked about that kind of stuff. So long story short, yes, Diego, I love this idea, and I sure hope that's a possibility. It sounds like from interviews, and I can't think of a direct quote specifically, but it sounds like they're softening on the idea of unique art.
So I agree with 90% of what Diego said. However, the second sentence here, do you think there's a possibility of this leading to cards with alternate card art that can only be obtained through packs? Only through packs? Not happening. Because they currently have that in the game in this mode called Mercenaries, and I don't think that's gone super well. So when you can open art in lieu of opening a card you can use, some people really want the art and they get upset when they don't get it, and some people don't want the art at all and they get upset when they don't get a card instead. And they've also moved towards the direction in the base game towards you can get everything in the game two different ways. You can craft card backs, you can craft hero portraits, that sort of thing now using gold. I envision a way that you unlock this either through the Tavern Pass, could absolutely happen, or a separate purchase, or something else that you can unlock, maybe an achievement here or there. I don't envision it being pack and pack exclusive. Just because the way they have it in Mercenaries, the blowback on the Mercs packs has justifiably been so significant that I don't envision them trying to replicate anything that could be traced back to Mercs in the base game or messing with the base game's pack economy.
Yeah, and I think that they've had a lot of success as well putting things in the store. We talked earlier on about Battlegrounds and Garrett saying he's not spending money, but he gets hit with a lot of pretty things. So whether that's, you know, hero portraits or the have they changed the name yet, or am I going to have to say it?
Finishers?
Finishers, yeah, finishers.
What's wrong, Joss? Do you not like finishing?
I will not go down this tangent, Garrett. I won't do it. Look at the restraint. But my point is,
I don't understand why you don't want to finish. I really don't. I don't get it. I don't understand why you are so anti-finishing. It looks great. It looks so pretty. It's just a big splash.
Don't worry about
it. Biting my tongue so hard.
Just hold it back. Just think about baseball.
Margaret Thatcher naked on a cold day.
So they've had a lot of success selling those type of things in their shop. And I think that that is the way to go when it comes to alternatives. I would like to see them do something along the lines of, you know, offering for in-game gold as well. I think there's a lot more gold in the game now with the Tavern Pass and everything else that, like, it would be nice to have some of these cosmetics available for that in-game currency as well. But I mean, yeah, I think that putting things in the shop is the way to go. And Hat, your point, I hadn't even thought. Surprise! I forgot Mercenaries existed! So I had forgotten that, I mean, experiment, if you want to call it that, it did go so poorly. So yeah, I think that Merc's way of monetizing cosmetics is wrong and the Battlegrounds way is right.
I don't know. I wasn't really even thinking about including it in card packs. To me, it was always more of a thing that I thought they should be like pack-ins with pre-order bonuses or parts
special
of
events and
special events. Like, hey, this special event, get your special Draxus card. It's like Draxus alternate art. Which, here you are.
I have been to so many esports events. I've been to DreamHacks. I've been to BlizzCons since they brought in the esports card back. And I don't have the esports card back. I don't understand how I'm supposed to get it. It makes me really mad every time I look at my card collection. I'm like, but how?
You got to tweet at A-Bar and ask him.
I guess
I literally
so.
Used to help host Fireside Gathering tournaments. Yeah, this is something I don't think about as much, but yeah, back in the pre-COVID times, or as I said, the pre-Amy leaving Florida to go work for Blizzard times, when we had a lot of Fireside Gatherings. Hi, Amy, I miss you.
She got promoted, did you see?
Yes, yeah. I did. I sent
lead
her
a game producer. She's
lead
awesome.
Lead game
She's
producer,
so
yeah.
I'm so stoked for her. Amy is awesome.
She has cute cats.
I still miss our Firesides, but I mean, at this point, yeah, it still wouldn't be happening. So yeah, but like back in those days, yeah, I was constantly thinking about this kind of thing. Like, man, if you go to a Fireside Gathering, you should get a special card. Like, I would like alternate art, really. Like, and again, it's too not to get on a tangent, but that's what we're here to do. Welcome to the Angry Tangent. Could you redesign Hearthstone where I can see my card backs? Thank you. Because I really don't care about card backs. I don't see them. And I have so many of them at this point. They don't really have much meaning.
I wish they would add, and this kind of actually leads into the next question. So, Mike, I'm just going to read your question now. What do you want the new Hearthstone game director to continue doing, implement next, or get rid of? How about implementing a way to look at your card backs that's like, I want to filter by color because today I want to use a blue one. Show me everything that's blue, because I agree, Garrett. I have, since we've been playing since beta, I have so many card backs. There's a billion. And I love that. I love that there are so many different ways to express yourself and you can, you know, set them for different kinds of decks and all that kind of stuff. I love that those are options. I love that random is an option, but some way to kind of filter and help find what you're looking for, because I don't know the names of the card backs.
Well, if we're doing colors, though, Joss, we're going to have a problem because people can't decide on blue or gold. And yes, that is a very old, very, very old reference.
Holy crap, Garrett. Wow.
Man.
But yeah, I agree. Cardbacks, it would be nice to be able to see them a little bit more often while you're playing the game. Honestly, just like flip the deck onto its like
put the deck like of, you would put a yeah. magic deck on face down.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I know the Hearthstone, they wanted to like to look dimensional like a Jumanji board, but I want to see my card back all the time. Mm-hmm. Not just when I'm not just right before I discover, not just right when the card comes off the top and it flips up. I want to see my card back all the time because it's one of the main points of customization. And it's always been, this is like without a doubt, probably like the littlest most like the littlest thing that annoys me the most, like in the history of Hearthstone, is just I want to see my card back more often.
Mm-hmm. Well, and especially because there's a lot of card backs that feature like a slightly different art at the top and bottom, right? Like they're not all exactly mirrored. So if they're not all exactly mirrored and you can only ever see the top while it's sitting in your deck, then yeah, you're like missing half of whatever it is that you've earned and chosen to use. So, I mean, it is a cosmetic in the game. I think it's worth pointing out. There's a lot of, you know, work that goes into designing those things. It would be really nice to be able to see it while you're showing it off, I think. But is there anything else you guys want to see for the future of Hearthstone since we're getting some potentially new direction? I know, obviously, Nathan's kind of taking over in Ben Lee's stead, but may or may not actually be our new permanent game director. So what do you guys see for the future of Hearthstone? Where do you want it to go? It's a big question, I know.
You have thoughts, Garrett? Should I just get going?
I mean, I think we really just get back into like our wish list. And for the longest time, I want a proper limited format. I still do not have a proper limited format. This is a card game. How do we not have a limited format?
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it. And game director. So talking about game director, you're talking about non-technical changes. And also not like adjacent to the business, right? The game director is the one that wants as many things to be as free as possible. And the business director is the one that wants as many things to be profitable as possible. And you want to try and navigate that. Of course, you know, the game director is going to be aware of this sort of thing. But a lot of the things that I want at this point are technical. I would like the client to work better. I'd like for it to be smaller on mobile devices. I would like for it to be a little bit more responsive. I'd like to change the frame rate of the game, not in a text file buried in my operating system on three different places and three different devices.
I saw you trying to decide if that was an exploit or not on
it's
Twitter.
Not. That's, other people were asking, like, I hope it's not because I've done it on every device I've owned and I've ever played Hearthstone on, which is all of them. The game director, I think, is really about where is support needed on the team and structure side. And I think that we have a lot of opportunity with BGs. Two things in particular. One, make a BGs PTR. Just do it. You need it. And second, contract somewhere between 8 to 24 super high-level BGs players to balance the game and just play a crap ton of lobbies, because you need to play a crap ton of lobbies to figure out how BGs works. It takes 8 players instead of 2, so you can't play test it the same way that you play test constructed. The game is only
for a second.
Been
in, I was like, "Why 8 to 24?" And then I was like, "Oh, 3 lobbies
8 times
worth."
3.
Got it.
Yep. Yeah.
math.
And so, if you count from when Bee Gees was released, which was during right around when DoD came out, November 2019, I believe. That then, for a constructed equivalent, we're right around the point when One Night in Karazhan came out. We're that point of Bee Gees. And for those of you playing during One Night in Karazhan, they weren't great at balancing and constructed then either. So I don't blame them, but contract some high-level BG players. Have them play a bunch, like a lot. They'll do it anyways. They do that for free. You can pay them a little bit and they'll do that. Because right now, BGs is not being balanced for high-level competition, and you need someone to figure out how to break your game so then you can stop them from doing that before it makes it into the client. So that's where I see the biggest structure needs right now. Because BGs is huge, and yet the people working on it are very talented and great at making fun experiences, but the high-level competitive players feel like they always find something to break immediately and always figure it out pretty quickly, and I think a few groups...
And then
groups,
have to wait on a patch.
Yeah, and I think a few groups that would run lobbies would make a difference here, and if you make a PTR, BGs isn't like standard where the journey of discovery of the immersion interactions is really what you're looking for, people that play BGs, they just want to keep playing BGs. They don't really get sick of it the same way, true, at least that I can find, unless something is broken. So just let them do that and then let them help you. That's probably be where I'd start in terms of things that a game director could and would change. As far as constructed gameplay and whatever, I'm really happy with how this year has gone. I know some people aren't, but I really am. I like the way that they've designed things and changed things and paced things this year. I wouldn't change a lot there. And I don't really have a problem with the economics right now either. So I would want it to be more about supporting the other modes that maybe don't have as much infrastructure right now, because it feels like the constructed modes, at least standard, has exactly what it needs. Wild is a different conversation, but I think Wild is getting exactly what Wild was promised. I just don't know if Wild players like that.
Yeah, that's fair. I think I would like some sort of, just on the BG's train, some sort of practice mode there, because I feel like, not that I ever use it, but on the constructed side of things, I feel like, you know, there is a place, there is a casual mode if I want to go and I want to test out a deck. And the good thing about that is that I can choose the deck and class that I want to play with. If I want to try out a new hero, like we were talking about Tamsin earlier, like I've never picked her because I don't know how to play her. And it's, I find very difficult to find resources on like how to play a hero in Battlegrounds in the latest patch. Like finding that information is really hard. And you're counting on content creators to have like pulled out that exact hero in that exact time to do a guide on. So, you know, like it's really, really difficult to find that information. And so I usually just end up not picking them unless I happen to be watching a stream and the streamer that I'm watching has chosen that hero and is walking through how they're playing as they're doing it. And then I have that, you know, knowledge base. But if that doesn't happen, then I just never learn how to play them and I don't feel comfortable enough to choose them in a lobby where my MMR and my like my rank counts, right? So I'd like some mode of Battlegrounds where I can go in, choose my hero from all the heroes, not just a random selection of four, and then play without MMR on the line so I can try to figure stuff out.
My only thought there is I bet Q's would be kind of butts on like new hero day if they didn't add like enough new heroes, right? Like
possibly,
if you have
possibly.
Eight, I could see, yeah, it'd be a little rough because like if they did like in past where they've only done two, I feel like most people queuing in that mode would be selecting one of the same two heroes. That would be interesting. But I would, in a perfect world where we figure that out, or we always release at least eight new heroes at a time, I would love that. It's like, yeah, quick match, Heroes of the Storm. I want to play this. I don't care how long I have to wait. Just find me a game.
Mm-hmm.
I like it quite a bit. I would love to see that in Battlegrounds. You two with these baller ass Battleground suggestions. I'm just sitting here being like,
didn't mean to step on toes.
No, man, and I'm sitting here over like, I would still like a draft and a proper sealed format, please. Thank you.
Well, I mean, to be fair, you've been consistent for like 8+ years now, so.
Yeah, beta started 2013. It's 2022, y'all. Here I am.
Oh, boy.
Getting close to year 9. Beating the I like to draft and play sealed drum going, I just don't want to go back to Magic. And don't make me go back. Getting the itch, though.
So anyway.
But now I have Elden Ring.
Yes, for now. So we have one more question. From Rakamar. A few months out from Mercs, how do you feel it's fitting into the greater Hearthstone ecosystem? Does it have a future? Does it deserve the top billing it gets in the main login screen? This is a loaded-ass question if I have ever seen one.
There, I feel like there is definitely a perspective written into this question.
So, it is very clear, and I'll say it anyways, it got put in the main screen so people would click it. Like it's they want it there. So, deserve is a pretty significant word. I don't know what else you would put in that spot. Because it's not like Tavern Brawl needed it either. They wanted people to click it and get their pack, but let's not pretend that was well-used real estate. It's the main screen needs standard, like it needs constructed, BGs, and other. And it has those. So breaking out mercenaries specifically, whatever. Like, I don't have a strong feeling about it. They're trying to make it more of a thing than it is right now. And we heard from Ben Lee himself, it did financially well when they launched it. It has people playing it, but yes, it very clearly has some problems. Does it have a future? It absolutely does, because they have a team working on it. They're investing money and time into it, and clearly want it to have gone differently than it did, but the initial launch was large, and I think we can call it successful, just the systems didn't stand up to scrutiny, and their fall off in the mode's engagement has been substantial. It would be great if they fix that. I've been playing some over the past couple weeks just to try and get this event done. I haven't made as much progress in the event as I would like. I have to unlock Chi-Chi today because the event is going away tomorrow, but I'm almost there because I had to play through all the bounties that I hadn't done because I hadn't been playing Mercs to gain access to those single bounty where I could beat the thing to get Chi-Chi. I'll get it done. It'll be fine.
That's the thing. I know you and I talked offline because I had mentioned this, but the Chi-Chi limited time offering and also the art, because the art is gorgeous. And I was like, you know what? I may not play the mode very often, but it's a limited time reward. I'm going to go in there. I'm going to see, you know, I'm going to unlock it. And at least then I'll have it in case, you know, there's ever some downtime and I want to give the mode a second look or whatever. Then I won't have missed out. And then I logged into Mercs. And I was in there for about 2 seconds, and I realized I couldn't even attempt GG until I finished about 6 other areas, and I literally just closed the client and left. And I was like, well, that's disappointing. And yeah, I mean, I don't know what the solution is, because I know that they want to, like, reward players that are in there all the time, but it's just, I feel like every time I open the mode, there's just such a huge barrier to entry that I close it again, and I've never spent a dime on it, and I won't. And I'm one of the people that throws money at this game. Like, I buy like every new constructed hero that comes out. I buy like every Battlegrounds cosmetic. There's only been a couple bundles that I've passed on because I really don't like the aesthetic. But for the most part, I throw money at these people like crazy. I'm a person that they want to engage with this mode because I'm just going to give them my money. So I don't know. It's just been such a big disappointment for me. And the TG event is like the perfect example, I think, of when they could have had me and they put this giant wall up and said, nah, actually, Joss, we don't want you. Bye-bye.
They have a lot of opportunity. And that is a nice way of saying there are a lot of things they can fix. I think the core gameplay of Mercenaries is fun, and high-level PvP for me personally is super engaging and interesting, but there's just a lot of things getting in the way of the game. It reminds me a surprising amount of the Dark Souls Elden Ring difficulty discourse of accessibility and approachability and people talking about, some people are saying the game is so great and really rewarding, you just got to get into it, and other people saying I can't and won't get past the barriers of the systems that are keeping me from getting to the game I want to play. And Mercenaries feels like a version of that, where when I get to play the part of the game that I want to, I have a great time, and getting there takes forever, and it's really punishing to make a single mistake, because then I have to go all the way back through these PvE maps to unlock the thing. On normal, I'm having difficulty clearing these events in a timely fashion, let alone on heroic, so it just feels like it's not worth my time, and that's disappointing, because I wish it was, because I enjoy playing the game at the high level, especially in PvP, and it's just, there's so many things in the way that it's tough right now. I have a lot of hope for the future, but they know they need to change things, which is good, because I know they need to change things too, and I really hope they do. And in its current format, it's just, there's too much work to enjoy the small bit of the game that I get to play.
Mm-hmm. I feel like it's too grindy. Like, it takes too much time. You have to invest too much before you even get to a point where you've unlocked enough stuff to know if you like it or not, which kind of just doesn't make me want to play. I feel like, and I don't even know if this comes down to, like, you evoked like Elden Ring, Dark Souls difficulty stuff. Like, I don't even think it's difficulty level. It's just the ask is so high.
Yeah.
For like, you know, I think when we were first talking about Mercs and talking about the tournament that they put on with all the different regions playing all the different modes, And Mercs was featured. And it was just like, you're 100 to 150 hours away from being able to do the thing that they're doing. Like, that's too much.
That's what I find so interesting about their, like multiple times this episode, you've mentioned that a lot of people who are into Mercs, they want more content. So I find it so strange that, like, my response is, it takes too long to even get started, like, even begin. Like, it's in an impenetrable amount of hours for me, because I did like it at first. When we went through the preview, I was like, man, they made a solid game mode. Holy crap. Look at this is so different and so polished. But then it went live and I was burnt out after a week, and I just realized, and I said it here on the show, and I think it sounds nuts to me that I'd rather go play an MMO. Because it's the same amount of hours. I'd rather go experience a big 3D rich environment and experience stories and massive multiplayer than engage with this. Because just at that point, I'd rather go do that. And that's just, like, you know, we get into personal taste at that point. But yeah, to me, it's a truly astronomical hour ask to get into it.
Well, to get to the fun part, right? Because everyone says that once your Mercs are maxed out, that's when you really start to make decisions. That's when you get the fun, interesting, engaging combat. And it's like, but it's so far away.
Yeah. And then I think about it too. Like, I know you like PvP hat, but to me, like, the thought of it is just like, nope, I don't even want to begin to even think about it. The thought of there's this many Mercs and I need to think about that many Mercs being on the board at the same time versus my same many Mercs being on the board at the same time and everything that they're capable of. And Pokemon many damage Mercs modifiers that come with that. Yeah, I just, that is something where I just go, and I need to put in MMO hours to be competitive. No, I'm good. I'm going to go. It's so different from Hearthstone. So exceptionally different, which I think is a strong suit too. Like, all of these things that I'm saying that keep me out of it, I think, are also what makes it so damn unique in the realm of Hearthstone. I realize it's other games like this, but we started to get back into the conversation of, like, should it even be in Hearthstone? And, like, clearly, I have made it clear I don't think it should be. I don't really think Battlegrounds should be either, though. But this is what they decided on. Hearthstone is just a platform.
Hearthstone is a platform.
It's not. Yep. I disagree. Not my Hearthstone. But it doesn't matter, because that's the direction they've happened to go. So, like, I don't think they're going to change it. But back to the previous question, hey, new game director, maybe pull some strings. If nothing else, I have to imagine I would not want to work in marketing for Hearthstone at this point, if you have to cover the whole plethora. It's just like, yeah, you want to play this sweet new Raid Shadow Legends competitor? Download Hearthstone. And to Hearthstone's credit,
ignore it has all amazing, the other, like, 60% of the game.
It has amazing brand recognition. And 9.9 out of 10 people are going to go, the card game? No, I'm looking for Raid Shadow Legends. I don't want to play a card game. Well, no, they have this new mode within the game that's like, I think it's a bad, it doesn't elevator pitch well. At the end of the day, I'm going to die on that Mercenaries Hill. Mercenaries and honestly, Battlegrounds do not elevator pitch well because they are within Hearthstone, a game that predates it as one of the most successful digital card games of all time.
Fair, I think. Hat's making not fair face.
I understand that right now explaining what Hearthstone is a very difficult thing because it's like 8 games, but at the same time, but, you know, it's, you could say, what is Hearthstone? Remember Magic? What if you could have that on your phone and it was cuter and easier to play, but also still
more accessible?
Cool? Yeah. BGs. Remember trying to figure out what's going on in auto chess or going in TFT and being like, what's up with this sushi wheel? I don't know what's going on. What if you knew what was going on and you got to pick up a game and play real quick? Or with Mercenaries, hey, you know, Pokemon? What if Pokemon with Warcraft characters and Diablo for some reason? Like, it's, you can make the elevator pitch fairly quickly. I think if you took Mercenaries and you removed, if every character started at level 30 with fully maxed abilities and equipment, and that was the only change you made, I think the mode would be fantastic to play immediately. So clearly there's some gray area between you have to unlock everything and pay for a bunch of stuff versus you have everything right away. But if they just gave you every character whenever you got it, everything was fully maxed, didn't have to level a single thing. If that would be fun to you and the current mode isn't, then it's a tuning issue. If that wouldn't be fun to you, even if you had everything unlocked period right away, that's a design issue or a genre preference. For me personally, I'm at the point where if they gave me every merc fully unlocked and I didn't have to do any of the work, I would play a lot of mercs. And as of right now, they don't do that, so I don't. I think there are plenty of people that would say, even if I had everything, I wouldn't want it. Joss. And in that case...
Yeah, I was just thinking, I'm like, you know, if they gave me everything, I'd try it again anyway.
Right. But that's not a good business model. I don't expect them to do that. Just it shows there's opportunity to tune this in a way where you get some of the appeal back from people that want to play this. Don't know if you're going to catch the people that don't want to, but there's a lot of opportunity to just change numbers and systems and progression to make the time between what I want to do and what I get to do less. And if they fix that, then I'll put more time into it. But the more they ask of me, the less I'll give them. So to answer your question, Rakamar, how do I think it's fitting in right now? Not very well. Does it have a future? I think it absolutely could. They're planning on it having a future. Does it? Remains to be seen.
Well put. I don't chase after people that don't want to play your game. I don't think Animal Crossing is sitting there working on their next game going, man, we only got like 5% of Souls players. Can we get more Souls players?
Like, how do we ramp up this difficulty?
How do we reach these tryhards?
What Animal Crossing is asking is, how do we get more bells?
Exactly. Anyways, that's going to do it for this episode of The Angry Chicken. If you like what we're doing here, you think to yourself, boy, I learned something, or I laughed, or maybe both. And you want to support us, check out patreon.com/TAC. It's completely up to you. We have some levels. They are simply suggestions. If you'd rather give more, less, set your own amount, give us a meme amount, like $6.9. I'll say nice to that.
I will too.
Patreon.com/TAC.
I'll do it too.
You get access to our Discord, ad-free versions of the show for your trouble. We really appreciate it. Thank you so much. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Declan H. and Dustin C. You can catch the back catalog of episodes over at theangrychicken.com or youtube.com/amove2 if you'd rather watch our video archives, see our smiling faces, the evolution of really all our hair. We've been through so many different hairstyles and colors.
I'm boring right now.
Different lengths. You're boring. Look at me. I haven't had color in my hair in a while. I miss it.
I was like, you have carrot hair. What do you mean? It still has an impressive amount of height.
I appreciate it. Anyways, we're live Mondays, typically at 8 p.m. Eastern over at twitch.tv/amovetv. We will most likely be live on Tuesday next week at 8 p.m. Eastern on twitch.tv/amovetv to talk about the announcement of the new Hearthstone expansion once that drops. And anyways, around the table before we go, Jocelyn, where can folks find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Twitch. I'm at Joss Plays. That's J-O-C-E Plays. Do check out the streams on Friday night. Last Friday, we played Forbidden West, and we did all side quests so that I wouldn't spoil the main story content for you. So if you're interested in Forbidden West at all, go and check it out. It was a lot of fun. But that's it.
It is Forbidden. Ridiculous Hat, how about yourself?
The hub of my content is at twitter.com/ridiculoushat, where you can find all of my tweets and also links to things that are not tweets. I do two other podcasts. We referred to them both this show. That's weird. CoinConcede.com, where we're making pets out of the game more accessible to you and occasionally talk to game directors. It's twice so far, which is, I know it doesn't sound like a large amount, more than my other podcasts have spoken to game directors. So definitely check out the most recent episode there. And then Vicious Syndicate over at viciousyndicate.com, where we take a data-driven look at the standard metagame. Just did a cool episode on the history of Hearthstone's design. That was a lot of fun. Garrett, where can people find you?
Not talking to a game director since the first one. Miss you, Ben.
Yeah, but which Ben?
That's true.
Exactly. Exactly. Folks, I'm Garrett Art on Twitter. As usual, I really want to point you at my Final Fantasy 14 content. I am currently playing through Final Fantasy 14 for the very first time, and just last week finished 3.0, aka OG Heaven's Ward, pre-patch Heaven's Ward, and I am moving on to the patch content. This Wednesday, over on Grinding Gear, which is youtube.com/amovetv, we will be releasing our end of Heaven's Ward 3.0 video first thing in the morning because new uploads come out every Wednesday morning. We did one last week on the live letter, and we'll be doing this one week this week about the original end of Heaven's War before we get into patch content. So we'll be doing that. And we also stream Final Fantasy 14, Kyle and myself, every Monday afternoon at 2 p.m. Eastern time. Same place, youtube.com/amovetv. I've been really smitten by YouTube streaming lately. It's been going well. I like the service. Kyle's streaming computer crashed today. Let us pick right back up where we left off. We didn't have to change the stream link. And then the VOD, it just got rid of the downtime. It just automatically got rid of it and just smashed together all our live shit. And it was great and perfect and wonderful. And I don't know why I've avoided YouTube streaming for so long, but...
Probably because we've crapped on them for multiple years on this show.
Listen, they're bad for Hearthstone Esports because they were already established on another platform. And they just decided to throw it all out. Guys, I think I'm going to delete this feed everywhere except Stitcher. What do you think? How do you think that's going to go?
It's going to go so well for the show, Garrett. That's a great idea.
It's so good you cannot even. No, that'll never happen. Anyways, that's it. Check out my Final Fantasy 14 content. Check out next week's episode of The Angry Chicken. Check out Into the Nexus. Until next time, job's done.
Job's done.
Job's done.
Job's done.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.